Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We now know the name of the man who was killed in a Wake County shopping center and the FBI agent involved in that shooting. All new information is straight ahead.
And we now have a WRAL weather alert date for Friday. Scattered showers and storms will be possible. I'll show you who's under the threat for some flooding coming up.
Also, several states are stockpiling prescription abortion pills ahead of a court decision that could cut off access. Why some say the issue is likely headed to the Supreme Court.
New details this noon regarding a shooting at a sports store that left one man dead. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan joins us live from Apex at Academy Sports with what she's learned about the man who died and the FBI agent who shot him. Chelsea.
Yeah, and that shooting happened right behind me in this parking lot. That sports store is open today. We should mention police releasing the name of that 18-year-old victim, Davey Sanchez of Durham. And we should mention police also releasing the FBI agent who pulled the trigger, and that is 29-year-old Denzel Ward. Now, that shooting happened yesterday around 1:30 here in the shopping center. Right in front of Academy Sports, police say Sanchez and a woman they're not identifying were inside the sports store. The police chief says the female allegedly grabbed a box of ammunition sitting on a counter display and ran out of the store with it. Sanchez, they say, then ran out of the store behind her. Police say the FBI agent Denzel Ward was in the parking lot and Sanchez and the female encountered that agent. We now know was on duty at the time, but it's still very unclear as to why that FBI agent was at this location. Police also believe that Sanchez was armed at the time. Now, we know in speaking to the FBI today that Denzel Ward is on administrative leave. That is protocol with that agency. I've contacted the FBI to ask about his employment history and why he was here, what he possibly was investigating. We're waiting for those answers from the FBI.
I know you'll stay on top of this story. Chelsea Donovan, live in Apex.
It is a gorgeous day today. Better enjoy it because we have a WRAL weather alert day for Friday. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with the threats we could face, Amy.
Decided to go ahead and issue the WRAL weather alert day for Friday because we do have the potential for storms, some isolated severe storms possible. It's not going to be widespread severe weather, but we do have the potential for some heavy rain Friday. So we could have some localized flooding in a few spots. This is the system we're tracking. It's still days away from us. So enjoy the weather for today and tomorrow. It's really Friday when we start to see those impacts. We have a 60% chance for scattered showers and storms Friday, a few showers Saturday, and another chance for a few storms on Sunday as well. Let's break down the timeline for Friday. A little bit of good news with this is it looks like most of the heaviest rain would arrive after the morning commute. So the heaviest rain will probably be around 9 o'clock in the morning through about lunchtime, and a few storms will be possible during that time as well. Once we get to the afternoon and evening, it's more hit and miss showers and storms, but this is when the temperatures are going to be warmer and we'll have a little bit of instability in the atmosphere. And it's this timeline when we could see a few isolated severe storms. I'm going to walk you hour by hour with this with Futurecast coming up in just a little bit.
A growing number of states are stockpiling abortion pills, and drug makers are weighing in ahead of a court decision that may cut off access to mifepristone as soon as this weekend. The anti-abortion group that filed the Texas lawsuit is doubling down, and conservatives are drawing up battle plans that could be consequential in the upcoming presidential election. Drew Petrimal reports from Washington.
Overnight, a group of anti-abortion doctors and medical organizations urging the Fifth Circuit Court to uphold a federal judge's decision to ban mifepristone. This comes one day after the Justice Department appealed the ban. The abortion opponents argue the FDA did not follow protocol when the abortion drug was approved nearly 25 years ago.
They fast-tracked the approval without doing the due diligence that was required.
A federal judge in Texas agreed and issued a nationwide ban on mifepristone set to take effect on Saturday.
The goal of this lawsuit is to protect American women and girls from dangerous chemical abortion drugs.
But there is broad agreement in the medical community that mifepristone is safe, now the most common method of abortion in the U.S. And abortion rights supporters say that is why it's being attacked.
What's going on here is that this is a backdoor ban on abortion. My thoughts are it's completely out of bounds what the judge did.
The Texas court is at odds with a judge from Washington State who issued his own ruling the same day requiring access to mifepristone to be maintained.
I'm proud to announce that New York State will create a stockpile of misoprostol, another form of medication abortion.
States like New York, California, Massachusetts, and Washington all stockpiling abortion drugs in anticipation of a drawn-out legal fight that could end up in the Supreme Court, another flashpoint over reproductive rights that will likely be a major issue in future elections. Drew Petrimo, NBC News, Washington.
The Texas case was appealed to the Fifth Circuit, and the DOJ is asking for a stay on the Texas ruling while the case moves forward. They're also asking the Fifth Circuit to decide on that stay by noon tomorrow. This morning, two Duke experts discussed the implication of rulings and the importance of mifepristone access to reproductive health care. Ken Smith has that story in our next half hour.
Five people were taken to the hospital after troopers say an out-of-control driver caused a major crash. This happened on Creedmoor Road near Matlin Court. WRL's Naya Harden explains what happened.
The scene was cleared around 8:30 this morning. You can still see some of the tire tracks that are left behind here leading up to that tree. All of this, as we're told, a total of five vehicles were involved. There were five people that were taken to the hospital. Thankfully, they do not have life-threatening injuries. Troopers say this started with a 21-year-old man driving a blue Pontiac. He was heading northbound when he hit two vehicles head-on. The driver's car caught fire, and two other vehicles were also involved in the crash. Troopers say the 21-year-old's speech was slurred and that he admitted to them that he had been drinking alcohol. Troopers say this is a very dangerous area, and it's because it is a narrow and long road. They're going to continue their investigation and will keep us updated. Naya Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
We're waiting to learn the name of a motorcyclist who died after a crash on I-440. Troopers spent hours at the scene near Wake Forest Road, only clearing out after 1 o'clock this morning. A motorcyclist died after hitting a guardrail on the interstate. No word on what may have caused that crash.
The city of Louisville will hold a prayer vigil tonight, 2 days after gunmen killed five people at a downtown bank. A memorial is growing outside the bank where the shooting happened Monday morning. Louisville's mayor says tonight's vigil will be a chance to reflect on what happened and remember the victims. In addition to the five people who died, three others remain in the hospital in critical condition. Body cam video released by Louisville police is showing us the moments first responders arrived at the scene of the shooting. And we want to warn you, this video is disturbing.
Stop. Stop right here. Back up, back up, back up, back up.
So this is video from Officer Nicholas Wilt's body cam. It shows officers approaching the bank as gunfire can be heard in the background. Wilt was shot in the head and is in critical condition. He was sworn in just 2 weeks ago. The gunman was an employee at the bank. Officials say he legally purchased the AR-15 style rifle from a local dealer.
Fire investigators in Johnston County are searching for the cause of a fire that damaged a 71-year-old church. The pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in the Meadow community says he smelled smoke while working in his office about 9 o'clock this morning. At first, he dismissed it, but soon realized there was a fire in the sanctuary. He called 911, and crews from Johnston and Sampson counties rushed to the scene and put out the fire. No one was hurt. A student is facing charges linked to threats at Lee County High School. The sheriff's office filed juvenile petitions on 6 counts of communicating threats of mass violence and 1 count for a threat against a school resource officer. Deputies say the student called in a bomb threat to Lee County High School yesterday, prompting a lockdown. They think the same student is also responsible for threats dating back to last month. The student's name is not being released because of that student's age.
Happening today, leaders at Wake County Public Schools will get their first look at feedback on a plan to change the bell schedule. The district's Student Achievement Committee will look at the results of a survey on changing school start times. One option has high school starting as late as 9:15 to help students get more sleep. Students, parents, and staff appear to favor pushing back the start times for middle and high schools, but shared concerns about after-school activities and work schedules. No decision will be made on this until at least next year.
In less than an hour, the police chiefs from Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill will help announce a new effort to get more women involved in law enforcement. The three chiefs, who are all women, will join Congresswomen Deborah Ross and Valerie Fucci to announce the bill. It would create a task force to recommend hiring standards for women in law enforcement. The goal would be to keep them from being put at a disadvantage in the hiring or promotion process. Right now, only 12% of police officers in the U.S. are women. Next at noon, the rise in the use of artificial intelligence, how Congress could possibly weigh in on the technological advances.
Also, toxic smoke still billows out of a recycling plant in eastern Indiana. How many people have been forced to leave their homes?
Plus, Amazon will start charging a return fee at some UPS locations, the amount being added and how to avoid it.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Artificial intelligence continues to grow in the U.S. and is becoming increasingly put into use. While some praise the technological advances, others are more skeptical. Mark Meredith examines what Congress can or should do about it.
We need to be ahead of this.
Massachusetts Congressman Jake Auchincloss is among a handful of lawmakers calling on Congress to regulate the fast-growing field of artificial intelligence.
So number one, we need sector-by-sector guidelines, and Congress can help convene. And number two is we need to democratize access to the actual cloud computing power.
Auchincloss made history in January by reading a speech written by an AI chatbot on the House floor.
To ensure that the United States maintains a leadership role in AI research and development.
The moment went viral, reigniting the debate over what Washington can do to ensure AI grows without risking America's economic and national security. President Biden says inaction is not an option.
Social media has already shown us the harm that powerful technologies can do without the right safeguards in place.
Today, the Commerce Department announced it's seeking the public's input on ways to regulate AI, as experts urge the government to move quickly.
These new AIs hack the foundations of language, which our democracy runs on language. When you hack language, you hack the operating system of your democracy, just like social media.
Cyber experts fear deepfakes, images and videos which look real but are computer generated, may amplify misinformation, even causing confusion and chaos. Congress is expected to further examine AI's risks and rewards throughout this year, even as some lawmakers urge regulators not to go too far.
We need to make sure that we make wise decisions about how to regulate so that we stimulate the growth of this incredible industry without stifling it.
That was Mark Meredith reporting. Lawmakers say there's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to regulating AI, but there are a number of ideas still up for debate, such as banning AI facial recognition software to requiring watermarks on AI-generated images.
Take a look at this. Toxic smoke is hovering over part of eastern Indiana this noon at the site of a recycling plant fire. Thousands of people who live and work within a half mile of the fire in Richmond have been forced to leave. Residents downwind are told to shelter in place and keep pets indoors. The fire broke out yesterday in a semi-trailer at the plant. It was loaded with an unknown type of plastics. The cause of the Indiana fire wasn't immediately known and likely won't be known until after the fire has been put out. Crews are also battling a wildfire in Manchester Township, New Jersey. So far, the fire has burned 2,500 acres and is only 10% contained. This fire also began at a recycling plant yesterday. It quickly spread and ignited several brush fires. Firefighters say it is all recyclable paper. One firefighter was hurt but is expected to recover.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, after months of speculation, we now know that Prince Harry will attend the coronation of his father, King Charles, next month. His wife, Meghan, will stay in the U.S. with their children. She will not be attending the coronation. The palace did release a statement today saying Buckingham Palace is pleased to confirm that the Duke of Sussex will attend the coronation service at Westminster Abbey on May 6th. Again, there had been widespread speculation over whether both Harry and Meghan would travel to the UK, but we now know today only Harry will be attending the coronation. King Charles and his wife, Queen Consort Camilla, will be crowned on May 6th at Westminster Abbey.
Thanks, Michelle. It is that time of year again with spring cleaning fever sweeping across the country. Lauren Blanchard takes a closer look at how you can simplify your to-do list and why spring cleaning can help give you a new lease on life.
It seems many people are coming down with a bit of spring cleaning fever. Even though chores may not be fun, all the extra elbow grease can come with some extra benefits for your mental health.
The idea of spring cleaning really is to have a new beginning and to bring some order out of the chaos of our lives.
According to medical professionals at the Cleveland Clinic, reducing the clutter in your home can help clear your mind and refocus your energy on other goals or hobbies that really matter to you.
That sense that you've accomplished something. And as research shows, when you have that boost that you have done one small step, you're much more likely to take the next one.
Because it can be overwhelming to figure out where to start, Christine Whelan of the University of Wisconsin-Madison says take it one room at a time, and don't be surprised if you get a little emotional along the way.
When we bring these things off of the shelf, they get imbued with memories, and then they're kind of hard to part with.
When it comes to organizing your wardrobe, Whelan says you can avoid buying more shoes and clothes in the future by participating in this growing trend.
Clothing rentals are expected to become an even huger industry over the next decade as people want to declutter and rent rather than buy.
As Lauren Blanchard reporting, and data collected by the American Cleaning Institute found 78% of people did some form of spring cleaning last year, up nearly 10% from 2021. I've managed to avoid the fever, Renee. You?
Oh, it struck me, and okay. It does feel good to do a little spring cleaning, but today's a day where it's way too nice outside to be cleaning inside the home, right? Get outside and enjoy it. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth in for Elizabeth to show us these warming temperatures and how nice it will stay.
Maybe do some outdoor gardening today or some lawn work. It's just gorgeous outside. This is a live look at the WRL garden. Some folks walking around enjoying the azaleas and enjoying the nice weather. It's 76 degrees in Raleigh and in Durham, 73 in Lewisburg, 74 right now in Siler City, 73 in Irwin, and 72 in Fayetteville. So very, very comfortable outside right now. We should get up to about 80 this afternoon under mostly sunny skies. So a nice warm day today. And if you maybe want to eat outside this evening, do some grilling. The weather stays nice all evening. We're in the 70s through 7 o'clock, and then we're down into the upper 60s by 8 o'clock. So some fabulous weather today, and we'll do it again tomorrow. Another gorgeous day with plenty of sunshine tomorrow. High temperatures warming into the lower 80s. But as we approach the weekend, that's when things start to change. Our pattern will turn to a more unsettled weather pattern, and that's why we've issued a WRL weather alert day for Friday. We'll have some scattered showers and thunderstorms, are high 74. Saturday, I don't think the rain's going to be a big deal. It's generally light rain, 78 the high temperature. But Sunday gets here, and it's the second half of the day. Some storms will be possible. Temperatures will warm into the mid-80s. So definitely unsettled. What we're thinking for Friday is we could have some isolated, localized flooding. And this is a look at the seven-day rainfall total. We had some very heavy rain late last week and over the weekend. So if we get some heavy downpours in these areas that you see where we have the red shade here, that's where we had 2 to 4 inches of rain. So if we get some heavy downpours in a few locations, we could have some localized flooding. And we do have a level one or a low end risk for some flooding as we head through the day Friday. It includes the triangle and points to the south. So some flooding is possible. I don't think it's going to be widespread, but I wouldn't rule it out in a few spots. So let's walk you through this hour by hour with Futurecast. 7 o'clock Friday morning, some rain entering our southwestern counties, and then it starts to lift to the north. So it's really after the morning commute for the triangle when the steady rain arrives, and it's with us through about lunchtime, the steady rain. And then once we move into the second half of the day, Friday into the afternoon and evening, notice it's just some hit and miss showers and maybe a few thunderstorms. And this is when we have a little bit of energy to work with as well. So it's later in the afternoon and during the evening commute where we could have an isolated severe thunderstorm. We're not concerned with widespread severe weather, but we can't rule out an isolated severe storm the second half of the day, Friday. So Friday is a day to watch. Saturday, a few showers possible. Sunday, some storms possible, and then it's quieter as we get into next week. I'll have more on the timeline for the weekend rain coming up in just a little bit.
Amy, thank you. Getting a parking ticket is a bummer, but you could soon be paying even more. Today at 4, we'll explain the proposed price increases for tickets in Raleigh and parts of Glenwood South.
And at 5:30, in the wake of a series of student deaths, NC State students take mental health into their own hands, hosting a resource fair, how they hope it will help their peers. And still ahead this noon, there are some changes coming if you're applying for federal student aid, either for you or your college-bound student. Coming up, what to expect from the new FAFSA form and when the update will be made.
Plus, there's a new streaming service that will offer HBO Max and Discovery all at once. Ahead, we'll tell you how much you could pay for the latest Warner Brothers service unveiled today.
Taco Bell's bringing back a favorite menu item for a limited time, and a new poll shows car buyers are in no rush to buy an electric vehicle. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Nearly half of people asked say it's unlikely they would buy an electric vehicle as their next car. The poll from the University of Chicago and the AP found 47% of people said they were not likely to go with an EV. Just 19% said it was either very or extremely likely that they would buy an electric vehicle next. So the poll did find a lot of interest in buying EVs, but the main obstacles are concerns about a lack of charging options and the high upfront cost. IKEA has a new online site to sell discounted used and discounted items. It's called As Is, after the section of IKEA's physical stores known for bargains. The online offerings include both items returned by customers and items that have been discontinued. All are offered at discounts. To access the As Is section online, you'll need to sign up for IKEA's free membership program. Taco Bell is bringing back another widely popular menu item. Nacho fries will be available again for a limited time starting tomorrow. This is the ninth time the fries have been added to the menu, and this time they come with a spicy twist. They're made with Yellowbird hot sauce. The Yellowbird nacho fries will sell for $1.99 an order. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
If you could just hear Renee, nacho fries, my fries. Big changes coming to the way college students apply for financial aid. The Department of Education plans to release a new version of FAFSA. A draft of the new form aims to shorten the application process by reducing the number of questions. It also changes how Pell Grants are calculated. The update will take effect on December 1st for the 2024-25 school year.
Generations disagree on how long parents should financially support their children. A Bankrate report shows parent financial support is expected longer among Gen Z compared to Gen X and baby boomers. Gen Z says parents should foot the bills, including cell phone and credit cards, until at least 21. Other age groups feel financial independence should start at age 19. About 70% of the parents surveyed say they made a financial sacrifice to help their adult children. Discovery is planning to unveil its new streaming service. The new platform, known as Max, will be a combination of HBO Max and Discovery Plus. The service will offer multiple tiers, including an ad-free option that will cost up to $16 a month. The service could be released as soon as next month.
Two Duke experts are weighing in on conflicting federal court rulings on mifepristone, a common abortion medication. We'll share the implications of the rulings and the importance of access to that drug.
Also, it's been 2 years since Dante Wright was shot to death by a police officer. His family says they are still waiting for Minneapolis to implement changes they promised. The city's response on that. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
The women's reproductive health care drug mifepristone is getting a lot of attention lately after contradictory federal court rulings.
The implications of those rulings and the importance of having access to that drug were the focus of a discussion today among Duke University experts. WRAL's Ken Smith listened in on that conversation, and he's here with some of the major takeaways from the discussion. Ken.
Jeff and Renee, in North Carolina, mifepristone is the most common method of medication abortion. One of the Duke experts confirmed during this morning's discussion, 60% of patients seeking an abortion in 2020 opted for mifepristone. Now, a federal judge in Texas issued a preliminary injunction dismissing the FDA's approval of mifepristone nationwide beginning this Friday. A competing ruling out of Washington State could limit the reach of the Texas injunction. Now, in listening into that discussion this morning, the Texas ruling is unprecedented, and it's leaving doctors here in our state and around the country in limbo.
I mean, the FDA has the authority to maybe protect the use of mifepristone. And so we're sort of waiting to see what will happen by Friday. But in the meantime, we're creating protocols for using misoprostol only if we need to. And I think just trying to be as prepared as we can.
Well, Dr. Gray just mentioned the drug misoprostol. It's another medication used for reproductive health care. As for mifepristone, it is also commonly used to help manage miscarriages. Dr. Gray says that's one in five patients. Now, the Duke experts today also suggested other online options for patients are Plan C and Aid Access. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals could decide on this issue within the next 24 to 48 hours. Renee, this is a story that we will continue to monitor for any new developments for our viewers.
And this is something that the nation is closely watching. Ken, thanks.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, an update to a big case 6 months ago. The family of Shanquella Robinson and their attorney spoke today with federal officials and the FBI nearly 6 months after Shanquella died in Mexico while she was on vacation. This happened back in October. The FBI issued a statement today offering condolences to her family and presented the findings of the federal investigation into her death. They said they did a thorough investigation and found, based on the autopsy, the available evidence does not support a federal prosecution. They say they don't normally issue these kinds of public statements, but because of the circumstances, it was important to reassure the public that charges cannot be pursued. The North Carolina native back in October traveled to Mexico with six other friends, and Robinson's death certificate does say that she died 15 minutes after suffering a severe spinal cord injury and broken neck. But again, the FBI saying today that charges cannot be pursued in her death.
Today, the family of a Hope Mills teenager shot and killed by police will respond to a district attorney's decision not to file charges. Attorneys for the family of Nisanto Crenshaw are speaking at 2 p.m. in Greensboro. A 17-year-old was shot during a traffic stop last August. Investigators say Crenshaw was driving a stolen vehicle and hit a police car as he tried to get away. Crenshaw's family says deadly force was not necessary because he was only driving about 5 miles per hour. They've already filed a federal lawsuit against the city of Greensboro.
2 years ago, a Minnesota police officer shot and killed Dante Wright. Now she's set to be released from prison. Kristen Mitchell has more on how Wright's family and friends continue fighting in his memory.
Gathering outside the Brooklyn Center Police Department,
say his name.
Dante Wright's family marks 2 years without him.
He still shines bright. I feel him. I know he's here with us. I see his smile every day, and it just really isn't fair that Dante wasn't able to make it home that Sunday for dinner.
The 20-year-old was shot and killed during a traffic stop by former police officer Kim Potter. She's set to be released in less than 2 weeks after serving 16 months in prison.
She has two sons, and she's going to be able to go home to them in less than 2 weeks.
Shortly after his death, the city passed an act promising sweeping changes to policing that, for the most part, have yet to be implemented.
This far down the road, and with so little progress made, and a really deep feeling of a watering down of what will end up getting passed.
Amity Dimmick and Katie Wright are co-chairs of the implementation committee. Their recommendations, made nearly 6 months ago, have yet to come to a council vote.
To lose Dante in a city that promised so many changes, and all we see is baby steps, and we're not even seeing that.
As another year goes by, Dante's family isn't giving up the fight, making sure Dante's life is honored.
That was Kristen Mitchell reporting. A candlelight vigil is planned tonight for a woman killed in a crash in Raleigh, as another woman now faces felony charges. A celebration of life for Jocelyn Morrison is set for 6:30 p.m. at the Aroma Lounge. Police say the 24-year-old was racing with another car last Friday morning along Lake Wheeler Road near Centennial Parkway. They say Morrison lost control and sideswiped the other car and hit a tree. The driver of the other car, Jada Ballard, is charged with felony death by vehicle. Warrants obtained by WRAL show police think Ballin was impaired at the time.
Duke Energy is buying up land in fast-growing Chatham County. The state's biggest public utility paid more than $3 million for 67 acres near the Randolph County line. It's also right next to the mega site where chipmaker Wolfspeed is building its new facility. And Wake Med is building a new hospital in Garner. The health system is calling it a whole-person health concept, taking care of mental health and well-being. Crews will build it on about 50 acres of land near the intersection of White Oak Road and Timber Drive East. This is just a piece of a larger 220-acre mixed-use area. Wake Med plans to start construction in 2024 and is expected to open the hospital in fall of 26. So much for free returns. Why Amazon may charge you a small fee if you drop your return off at UPS stores.
And we'll explain the new features that could be coming to a Chipotle near you. They have nothing to do with food, how the restaurant chain plans to do its part in helping the environment. Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Wayne, Cumberland, and Johnston counties. Goldsboro Police Department canines Lark and Reno will soon receive protective vests. Each vest costs just under $1,000. They're made possible through private and corporate donations. The vests are expected to be delivered within 10 weeks. Registration is open for Fayetteville Beautiful. A citywide cleanup is an effort to put waste in its place. The community-wide cleanup event takes place on Saturday, May 6th from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. You can visit FayettevilleBeautiful.com to sign up. Johnson County Animal Services is holding a rabies clinic this Saturday. It takes place at the animal shelter on Shelter Way in Smithfield from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Cats and dogs must be at least 3 months old. The $5 fee must be paid for with cash.
Amazon is charging a fee for some returns made at UPS stores. The fee comes out to $1. Amazon says customers will only be charged if they don't return their items at a free drop location that's closer to them or the same distance as the UPS store. Places like Whole Foods, Kohl's, and Amazon Fresh all offer box-free returns. This fee comes as Amazon continues to cut costs across the board. Chipotle is actively working to reduce its carbon footprint. One way is with an all-new electric restaurant design. Now, the restaurant would run on electric supplied by wind energy. It would even feature electric vehicles, charging stations at some locations. This is part of Chipotle's aim to reduce gas emissions by 50% before 2030. So far, the chain has opened two restaurants with some of the new features.
Get ready for music, fun, and lots of homegrown food and drinks. After the break, we'll tell you how you can be a part of the spring hootenanny at a local farm.
Plus, experts say climate change is impacting our weather, animals, and now sports. The adjustment one researcher suggests for Major League Baseball. Get ready for farm-style local food, family fun, and live music. This Saturday, NC Eat and Play will once again take over Phillips Farms of Cary for its Spring Hootenanny and Foodie Festival. Joining us to talk about this uniquely Southern celebration are Megan Nichols, founder of NC Eat and Play, and Michael Phillips, owner of Phillips Farms of Cary. Thank you both for joining us. Megan, your social media brand reaches more than 500,000 people. What prompted you to launch NC Eat and Play?
I started NC Eat and Play in October of 2019 just as a hobby to show people all the great places I'm finding in North Carolina, and it just quickly snowballed from there because I guess other people are interested too.
Yeah, they are. And Michael, Phillips Farms of Cary is a popular agritainment destination for family activities. Tell us how many people you agritain each year.
Well, last year we hit over 110,000 people throughout the spring, summer, and fall. And long as the weather's good, we're looking like we'll beat that again. So we've been increasing about 30% every year, and we're just excited for new events.
Yeah, try to set a new record, right? So Megan, NC Eat and Play is known for helping locals find great places to eat and explore fun adventures. What can people expect when they attend your Hootenanny Foodie Festival?
Well, the Hootenanny and Foodie Festival is exactly what it sounds like. It is just a fun Southern celebration. It's presented by Cheerwine, so we will have plenty of ice-cold Cheerwine to go around, live bluegrass music, food and drink from more than 30 local businesses, tons of activities on the farm, a cow train, lawn games. It's going to be a really fun time.
And Michael, this is the fourth time Hootenanny is hosted at your farm in Cary. The Hootenanny is like the pre-opener, though, for the farm's spring season. Are there special activities that ticket holders will have a chance to preview before the season begins?
Absolutely. So we've added a miniature golf this year, a little farm golf going in there. We have a couple different rides. The new cow train, which holds about 25 people comfortably. They all have names, heads, and tails. We've got the grain train, which, as you can imagine, the whole family can ride together in one single train, and we pull five of those at a time. We have tons of the yard games. We'll have some animals for everyone to pet, and we're just going to entertain the heck out of you.
Oh, it sounds like family fun right there. All right, Megan, how can folks get tickets for this event?
So this event is this Saturday, April 15th at Phillips Farms from 5:30 to 8:30. You can get your tickets online at nceatandplay.com/purchase.
Easy way to do it. It's right there. Tickets are available, and we hope that everyone gets out there and does. It is a full family fun event. So good luck, and we think you're going to break the record again this year. We're looking forward to it. Thank you guys so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Sounds like such a fun packed event and so fun to say Hootenanny, right, Jeff? I mean, we get to say Hootenanny on the air. Baseball players appear to be hitting more home runs these days, and there are competing explanations as to why. Now, one doctoral student has his own explanation. Global warming. That's right. Warm air, he says, is less dense, which makes it easier for objects like baseballs to travel farther. Christopher Callahan says rising temperatures might already be resulting in more home runs at games. He says if Major League Baseball wants to mitigate this effect, more games could be moved to evening or morning hours. You know, it might not be a bad thing for the fans, too. That way you're not broiling out there under the sun. No broiling today, though, just perfect Goldilocks weather. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at what's ahead.
Gorgeous weather out there right now. It's pretty much perfect. 76 degrees and the dew point's 44, so we have some nice dry air. It is going to be warm out there. We'll get up to about 80 this afternoon, but with the low dew points, it just feels great outside. We'll climb into the low 80s almost everywhere, maybe upper 70s in Southern Pines and Clinton, 80 the high in Raleigh, 81 the high in Roxborough. If you're headed to some baseball games over the next couple of days, you're in for a treat. We'll have beautiful weather at the DBAP tonight. 74 degrees with mostly sunny skies at first pitch, and then pretty much the same thing for tomorrow. Mostly sunny with temperatures in the upper 70s. Fabulous baseball weather in the next couple of days. We do have a pattern change that gets here, unfortunately, right in time for the weekend. A 60% chance for showers and a few storms on Friday. Just a 30% chance for rain Saturday and a 40% chance for a few storms on Sunday. We do have a WRL weather alert day for Friday. We do have a little bit of energy in the atmosphere the second half of the day. As we progress through the morning into the early afternoon, we have low storm energy, but some showers are likely as we kick off the day. And then as we head into the afternoon, notice the storm energy goes up just a little bit as we head into the afternoon and evening. So an isolated severe storm will be possible. We could also see some heavy rain with this system as it moves in. That's another reason that we issued the WRL weather alert day for Friday. This is the rainfall totals that takes us up until late Friday night, anywhere from about a quarter of an inch to maybe an inch and a half, and then we'll add to that just a little bit on Saturday with some light rain. So we do have the potential for some localized flooding on Friday. We could have some pockets of heavy rain, and then we do have the potential for rain Saturday and Sunday as well. I wouldn't cancel outdoor plans Saturday. It's just going to be some light rain, and it's not going to rain all day. Not everybody will get the rain on Saturday, just some light showers possible. So again, don't cancel your outdoor plans. Heading into Sunday, the first half of the day looks great. We'll have some sunshine in the morning, but a system's going to approach us later in the day. In the afternoon and into the evening, some showers and storms will be possible. It really looks like late afternoon and evening will be the time frame for some rain on Sunday. So this weekend is not a washout. We'll have plenty of dry time to get outside. Just a few light showers on Saturday. And again, not everybody gets the rain. 78 for the high temperature. It's a dry start Sunday, but a few storms possible late afternoon and into the evening. It's warmer with a high of 84. Beautiful weather for today and tomorrow, and then we have the weather alert day Friday for the potential for some localized flooding, and it stays fairly unsettled through Sunday.
Raptor lovers get a bird's eye view of the birth of a baby falcon, where this extraordinary spectacle unfolded.
And here are your winning Mega Millions numbers on your screen right now. Our teacher of the week has been chosen and in the classroom for 3 years now, quickly became a favorite among students. WRL's Brian Schrader introduces us to a Hillsborough educator who uses current events to help lessons come alive.
In Xavier Adams' freshman year of college, he got involved with a church nonprofit working with high school students. And in 2019, he decided to become a teacher.
I decided to become a teacher because I just realized one day teachers get to see students every single day. And they just have room for a really big impact on students' lives.
Adams teaches world history, African American studies, and Latin American studies at Orange High School in Hillsborough. And he says current events are a big part of what they discuss.
I enjoy hearing their thoughts as well as their reflections and how they think that we can make society advance to a better place.
Adams was named the state's beginning teacher of the year in 2022, and students say he deserved it.
On his first year here, super popular. Everyone loved him. Yep, everybody talked about him.
Adams says learning can be fun, but he holds students to high standards.
Making sure that in that process that we are holding our students to the highest standards so that they can be the best learners, the best thinkers, the best leaders that they can be, I think is a critical part of being a teacher.
Xavier Adams is WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Police identified the man shot and killed outside a sports store in Apex as 18-year-old Davey Sanchez of Durham. They say the SBI agent who shot him was 29-year-old Denzel Ward. Police say Sanchez ran out of Academy Sports with a woman who allegedly stole ammo. SBI agent Denzel was in the parking lot at the time on duty. Police believe Sanchez was armed. Denzel is on administrative leave.
Several people were taken to the hospital after a five-car crash in northern Wake County. It happened this morning on Creedmoor Road near Matlin Court. Investigators say a 21-year-old driver was driving recklessly when he hit a truck head-on, sparking a chain reaction crash. One car caught fire. That 21-year-old, troopers say, caused the crash, admitted to drinking.
Fire investigators are searching for the cause of a fire that damaged a 71-year-old church in Johnston County. The pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in the Meadow community was there working and called 911. The fire started in the sanctuary. No one was hurt.
The peregrine falcon is making a comeback, one hatchling at a time. The falcon cam at UC Berkeley captured the moment the second hatchling burst onto the scene last night. The first chick hatched Monday. Doting parents Annie and Lou took turns keeping the newest chick warm and waiting on the other two to hatch. Annie and Lou have been hatching eggs on top of the university's clock tower since 2017.
Our pets of the day are a power duo who absolutely adore people. Meet Stripes and Two Dots. With their cute meows and chirps, they would make wonderful companions to someone that works from home because they want to be with their human all the time. They are super sweet, love to cuddle, sometimes even on your shoulder. While they are high energy, they do know when it's time to chill out and are very good boys. They would love to meet you. You can meet them by simply filling out an application on the Cat Angels website. That's catangelsnc.org.
Proposed changes to parking violations in Raleigh. Coming up at 4, WRL's Matt Tallhelm walks us through the new tiered fee system and explains why violations in some areas will cost you more money.
Do you have a golf tee time?
Friday.
Oh, okay.
And tomorrow.
I thought for sure today, though. Yeah. Look at it outside. Yeah. It's probably going running or something.
Honey-do list. Yeah, I might run a little bit.
It's gorgeous out there. Enjoy it. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.